And because we had two readings, I think it's probably worth reading these verses again, just to fix them in our minds. So I'll read them in English, and June will read them in French. Okay? I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
J'en suis devenu le serviteur conformément au don de la grâce de Dieu, qui m'a été accordé en raison de l'efficacité de sa puissance. Moi qui suis le plus petit de tous les saints, j'ai reçu la grâce d'annoncer parmi les non-juifs les richesses infinies de Christ et de mettre en lumière pour tous les hommes comment se réalise le mystère caché de toute éternité en Dieu, qui a tout créé par Jésus-Christ. Ainsi, les dominations et les autorités dans les lieux célestes connaissent maintenant par le moyen de l'Église la sagesse infiniment variée de Dieu. Conformément au plan éternel qu'il a accompli en Jésus-Christ notre Seigneur. C'est en Christ, par la foi en lui, que nous avons la liberté de nous approcher de Dieu avec confiance. Aussi, je vous demande de ne pas perdre courage à cause des souffrances que j'endure pour vous et le sang votre gloire.
Merci. This passage is really rich and dense, and life is kind of short, so we're going to try and be very clear and short and succinct and look at it in three headings. We're going to use the headings, the man, the plan, and the span, okay?
Donc c'est un passage très riche, et on va les voir en trois sections. L'homme, le plan et l'étendue.
So that's where we're heading, okay? So when you hear us say the plan, then you know that we're kind of getting through. And when you hear us say the span, then you know we're nearly home. Je sais pas si tu veux dire ça ou non. Non, voilà. Okay, so the man. Who is writing this? Who is this person? I. Well, it's Paul. It's the Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter, and we know quite a lot about him.
Donc, qui est l'auteur de ce livre? C'est Paul.
We know, for example, that he was a man who was very intelligent and had studied long and hard at a very high level. He was a brilliant student of Jewish theology.
On sait que c'est quelqu'un qui a fait beaucoup d'études théologiques, donc c'est un juif, c'est quelqu'un aussi qui est brillant.
We know also that he was very devoted and very observant in his religion. He was full of zeal.
Donc c'est quelqu'un qui a beaucoup de dévotion pour sa religion.
We know as well that drove him to the point of being violent. He wanted to wipe out the Christians because he thought that the Christian message was an error. It was a lie. It was wrong. And it should be destroyed, taken away.
Donc cette dévotion l'a conduit à tuer les chrétiens et à essayer de détruire ce christianisme.
And we know that he was determined to do this until the moment when he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Donc il continue à faire ça jusqu'au moment où il a rencontré Jésus.
I'm just going to pause there and think a little bit about that encounter with Jesus, because some things are really striking in the light of what we sang and what Paul says here. For example, what did he see when he encountered Jesus? Tell me. Qu'est-ce qu'il a vu quand il a rencontré Jésus? Il était en route pour Damas. He was on the way to Damascus. What did he see? Yeah, he saw a light. Il a vu une lumière, une forte, brillante lumière. Yeah, and what happened to him when he saw the light? Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé quand il a vu cette lumière dans sa vie, quoi, dans son expérience? Oui, il est devenu aveugle. He was blinded by the light. Yeah, and they had to lead him. They had to lead him into Damascus. Yeah. These things, I think, are very significant in Paul's mind.
Tu peux... Donc ces choses sont très significantes dans la pensée de Paul.
So, after this experience, he begins telling people, you know, someone comes to him and he gets his sight back. But he begins telling people about the Lord Jesus and preaching the message that he tried to destroy.
Bon, après cette expérience, il a commencé à partager l'évangile de Jésus, et c'est le message qu'il avait essayé de détruire.
He, in his own turn, was threatened with persecution, and so he hides. He hides for we read 3 years where. He deconstructs all his world, his intellectual world that he built, and builds a whole new one.
Donc pendant ces moments de persécution, il a déconstruit tout ce qu'il avait appris dans son monde intellectuel et de reconstruire en basant sur les savoirs et les connaissances en Jésus-Christ.
And he receives then a call from Jesus. And it's a crazy call, really, to go to the whole wide world and spread the message of Jesus.
Donc il a reçu un appel de Jésus, c'est d'aller dans le monde entier et de partager cette nouvelle, bonne nouvelle de Jésus.
When we meet him in this passage, he's in prison.
Quand il est en train d'écrire ce passage, il est en prison.
We see that at the beginning of chapter 3, and we also see it at verse 13, because he talks about them not being discouraged by his sufferings.
Donc on le suit au début et verset 13 de passage, il leur demande de ne pas perdre le courage à cause des souffrances.
Now then, I want you to think of Paul's classmates. You know, the people who he was in university with, and who competed with him, but they never won because he was so, so gifted.
Donc là maintenant, on va essayer d'imaginer les amis, les gens avec qui il a fait des études à l'université, qui est en sorte de concurrent, mais qui n'a jamais atteint à son niveau.
What do they call it when, they call it a high school reunion, don't they? Imagine a university reunion. Where Paul and his classmates, where Paul's classmates get together. Paul can't, obviously.
On imagine ils se retrouvent ensemble avec ses amis à l'université.
And they say to each other, well, what happened to Paul? I mean, he was the most promising one of us. Do you know what's become of him?
Donc ils vont peut-être se dire que, qu'est-ce qui se passe, Paul? Il était tellement brillant.
And somebody says, well, you've heard, haven't you? He's in prison. He's in prison. The Romans have got him in prison.
Donc peut-être vous avez entendu parler, il est en prison.
What are they going to say? Whoa, he was so promising, but what a loser.
Donc qu'est-ce qu'ils vont dire? Ils vont dire que c'est quelqu'un qui est brillant, mais maintenant c'est un loser, c'est un perdant.
He had the intellectual world at his feet, and he's thrown it all away.
C'est quelqu'un qui est tellement intellectuel, mais il a tout jeté.
Does Paul think he's a loser?
Est-ce que Paul pense que lui-même c'est un loser?
From this passage, what do you think?
D'après ces versets, qu'est-ce que vous en pensez?
Not at all. They're in prison. He cannot preach. He cannot travel. He cannot speak in the public square. There are many things he cannot do. But he can do other things, can't he? He can write. He can write to the people who he's heard of, or who he's met, or who he's preached to in the past.
Donc même s'il est en prison, il ne peut pas aller prêcher publiquement, il ne peut pas aller ailleurs rencontrer ses amis, mais il peut écrire aux personnes qu'il avait rencontrées.
You could think, well, Paul, you got great gifts, you could do great things, you had a great call, and now you're in prison. And Paul, I think, would respond, well, yeah, but I can do small things for a great cause and for my great Savior.
Donc peut-être on va dire que Paul, tu ne peux pas faire un grand chose maintenant, mais Paul va répondre, c'est pas vrai, je peux faire des petites choses pour mon Seigneur, pour une cause importante.
So that's going to be a repeating theme with us, doing small things greatly for a great cause and for a great master.
Donc on va répéter ce thème ce jour, c'est de faire des petites choses pour un grand Seigneur et pour, pour une cause importante.
So we've seen a little bit about Paul. In this passage, he talks a bit about himself too. He says that he became a servant.
Dans le passage, il a dit qu'il a devenu un serviteur.
A servant of the gospel, a servant of the message of Jesus.
Un serviteur de l'évangile, un serviteur de Jésus.
But he also refers to his past, before he was a servant of Jesus. Do you see in verse 8? He says, although I'm less than the least of all the Lord's people.
Et il a aussi parlé de son passé, verset 8, moi qui suis le plus petit de tous les saints.
When he talks like that, he's thinking about the way that he persecuted the church. He tried to wipe out the Christian faith. He hurt people. He imprisoned people. Through him, some people died.
Il est en train de faire un bel quand il persécutait les chrétiens. Il mettait les chrétiens en prison et il y avait des chrétiens qui ont été mis à mort à cause de lui.
I think that although he knew he was forgiven, he never forgot. He never forgot what he once had been.
Et on pense que même si il sait qu'il est pardonné, mais il peut jamais oublier de ce qu'il a fait.
But also think about who he met. He met the Lord Jesus Christ in his majesty and his glory.
Mais il a aussi rencontré Jésus en son merveilleux gloire.
And then think of what he became. He became the great apostle to the Gentiles. Not a loser, but someone who we still discuss and talk about today. We don't know the names of any of his classmates, but we know his name. Everyone knows the name of Paul.
Et là, aujourd'hui, il est un apôtre important dont on parle souvent.
I want to take you to down a different route for a little while and talk about my friend Anne.
Maintenant, on va parler d'une amie d'Alan, Anne.
She died some years ago, but she was a lady who I knew quite well.
Donc, elle est décédée il y a quelques années. C'est une personne que Alan connaît bien.
She was brought up in a religious home too.
Elle a grandi dans une famille religieuse.
Her mother was the pastor of the local Baptist church in the town where I lived.
Donc sa mère était le pasteur d'une église locale où habitait l'endroit où habitait Anne.
Anne's marriage broke up. Her husband left her.
Donc elle a un mariage brisé. Son mari l'a quittée.
And left her with two teenage children.
Elle a laissé deux enfants, adolescents.
And the children were very kind of hurt by what had happened.
Donc les deux enfants sont très touchés par ce qui est arrivé.
When I met her, she had just encountered the Lord Jesus Christ for herself.
Donc quand Alain a rencontré Anne, en ce moment-là, elle vient de rencontrer Jésus.
And her life had started to be deconstructed and rebuilt in a totally different way.
Donc sa vie a été déconstruite et reconstruite petit à petit en Jésus-Christ.
She had a lot of debts when I first met her.
Elle avait beaucoup de dettes.
And she was in danger of losing her house.
Jusqu'à un point, elle peut-être va perdre sa maison.
And so we talked together with a friend of mine who can count. I'm not very good with maths. And we worked together a plan where her debts would be covered and she could repay at a kind of steady rate what she owed.
Donc avec un ami de Alain, ils l'ont aidé à trouver un plan pour qu'elle puisse rendre cet argent.
And she started to put a new life together for herself.
Donc elle a commencé à construire une nouvelle vie.
She got a job.
Elle a trouvé un travail.
For a big company called Sony.
Pour une entreprise qui s'appelle Sony.
I was very proud of her getting this job. I remember saying to her, "You've got a wonderful job, haven't you?"
Donc Alain était très fier de elle.
And I said to her, "You've got a wonderful job, haven't you?"
Et il lui a dit que tu as trouvé un merveilleux travail.
She said, "Yeah, I'm in charge of keeping the men's toilets clean."
Donc elle a dit que oui, je suis en charge de garder les toilettes des hommes propres.
She said, "Sometimes the great bosses, the high bosses, they don't care that I'm in the room cleaning the toilet, and they start to use the toilet in front of me."
Donc elle dit que des fois les grands boss utilisent la toilette des hommes même si elle est en train de nettoyer.
And she said, "I take them by the shoulders from the back and I go, 'No, no, 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 no,' and I put them in a cubicle where I can't see them."
Donc elle prend l'épaule de cette personne et elle va bouger
dans un petit. C'est quoi un cubicle en français? Les toilettes des enclos, quoi. She said, "I have a pair of tongs to fish the cigarette ends out of the urinals." Sorry to say that in church.
Des
pinces pour chercher les mégots des urinoirs. Ouais. C'est un peu grosse pour un dimanche soir. Désolé, hein. Mais c'était son boulot. And after our conversation, I said, "In fact, you've got a rotten job, haven't you?"
Donc après, Alain dit, en fait, tu n'as pas un bon travail.
She laughed and said, "Yeah, I've got a rotten job, but it pays the bills and it's paying my debts."
Et elle dit que oui, c'est vrai, c'est un travail pourri, mais ça paye.
And I was even more proud of her.
Donc Alain est encore plus fier d'elle.
And she was proud of her toilets.
Elle était très fière de ses toilettes.
I don't think the people at Sony cared much whether their toilets were very clean or not.
Non, on ne pense pas que les gens de Sony pensent que c'est important qu'ils soient propres ou non, là, les toilettes.
But she cared. She was determined to do small things in a great way.
Mais c'est quelque chose d'important pour elle, parce que c'est des petites choses qu'elle a travaillé sur les petites choses.
One day she saw an advertisement. The Queen of England was looking for housekeepers.
Donc un jour, elle a vu que la reine d'Angleterre cherchait une femme de ménage.
And so she applied.
Donc elle a demandé de ce travail.
She went to Buckingham Palace.
Donc elle est allée à Buckingham Palace.
She entered through a secret tunnel, which normally people don't know about. It's only if you have an appointment you go through there.
Donc elle a passé par un passage secret.
She had an interview with the head housekeeper.
Donc elle a passé un entretien avec le chef
des femmes de ménage.
Les femmes de ménage.
And the head housekeeper said, "I don't see you at Buckingham Palace. I see you at Windsor Castle."
Donc le chef lui dit que je vois que tu seras mieux au château de Windsor.
And so one day we visited her at Windsor Castle in her apartment in Chester Tower in Windsor Castle.
Donc un jour, Alain a leur lui rendre la visite dans ce château et aussi dans son appartement ici.
It was so beautiful. Everything was just so lovely, you know.
Donc c'est un endroit très très joli.
And I said, so what do you have to do?
Donc Alain lui demandait qu'est-ce que tu dois faire.
She said, one of my responsibilities is to make sure the Queen's cushions are always well placed on the sofas.
Donc elle a répondu, l'une de ses responsabilités c'est de garder les coussins et qu'ils soient placés proprement.
So she would hang around outside the room wherever the Queen was, and if the Queen came out to use the toilet, she would rush in, rearrange the cushions, and rush out again.
Quand la reine utilise la toilette, elle doit replacer les coussins d'une manière propre et après de partir.
Now, if I was the Queen, I would find that very annoying indeed.
Donc si elle dit que si c'est la reine, il va trouver que c'est très très bizarre.
But I'm not the queen, and I never was the queen, and for some reason this was important.
Mais c'est important pour la reine.
And it was important for Anne, because she was determined to do small things in a great way for a great master. And I don't think her master was the queen.
Mais c'est important pour Anne parce que pour elle c'est les petites choses, mais elle a gardé, il a accordé une attention précise parce que pour elle c'est une cause importante.
Now that brings me to you, because I'm not the Apostle Paul and I'm not a housekeeper for the Queen, and neither are you.
Et on va rentrer sur centrer sur nous-mêmes.
You, every one of you, you are unique.
Donc chacun est unique.
Nobody has the background and the abilities and the training and the education and the family that you have had.
On a tous des familles différentes, des compétences, les expériences différentes.
Sometimes we find that awkward. We find that it's annoying that other people are not exactly like us.
Des fois, on le trouve bizarre, voire difficile, que les autres ne sont pas comme nous.
But just imagine what it would be like to live in a world of clones. How awful that would be.
Mais imaginez que ce sera encore plus bizarre de vivre dans un monde de clones où tout le monde est pareil.
So every one of you is unique.
Donc chacun est unique.
And also, who you have been, and what you have done, and how you have lived. Every one of you. You're not the Apostle Paul. You have not hounded people to death. But you have things, too, in your past that you're ashamed of.
Mais c'est aussi qui on était, ce qu'on avait, ce qu'on faisait. On a des expériences différentes.
And perhaps you know that you're forgiven, but also there are things you can't forget.
Et peut-être on sait qu'on est pardonné, mais aussi il y a des choses qu'on a fait qu'on ne peut pas oublier.
I need to ask every one of you, and I'm asking individually, have you, like the Apostle Paul, like my friend Anne, have you had a real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Donc on se pose la question individuellement, est-ce que toi tu as rencontré Jésus-Christ?
Now, for some people it happens in a big crisis, you know? For Paul it was a huge crisis in his life. He was literally stopped in his tracks by meeting Jesus.
Donc pour certaines personnes on a rencontré Jésus dans une situation de crise comme Paul. Il est arrêté au plein milieu.
For some people like John Wesley, something just clicks and he sees things he never saw before and he understands things that he didn't understand and his life is changed.
Et des fois c'est comme John Wesley, il y a quelque chose qui est clenché dans sa pensée et il a compris.
With my friend Anne, I don't know how she came to faith. I think a friend told her about Jesus. But one thing is sure, she'd met him and he'd changed her life.
Et pour Anne, on sait, peut-être c'est une amie qui lui a partagé l'évangile, mais ce qui est sûr c'est qu'elle a rencontré Jésus et ça a changé sa vie.
And for you, it's not so much important the experience you had, you know, the feelings that you had, or the crisis that you went through. What's really important is this: has Jesus come into your life and taken control of your life? Is he in charge of your life? Is he changing your life? Is it him who's seated on the throne of your life?
Alors les expériences et le moment où on a rencontré Jésus et aussi les émotions ne sont pas importantes, mais ce qui est important, c'est que est-ce que Jésus a pris le contrôle de ta vie et aussi est-ce que Jésus a changé ta vie?
Some people just grow up trusting Jesus and they always know him as their Lord and Savior.
Il y a des personnes qui ont grandi dans une famille où ils croyaient en Jésus et la personne croyait toujours en Jésus.
But for most of us, it comes as a kind of shock.
Mais pour la plupart de nous, c'est une sorte de choc.
Now I crave that for all of you. I really want all of you to know what it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That is what I really want for you. And that's why we get up here and preach every week. We want every one of us here to look on Jesus when he returns with joy and with expectancy and with love and with hope and not with fear.
Donc ce qu'on souhaite vraiment, vraiment pour chacun entre nous, c'est qu'on on croit en Jésus et que quand le jour où on rencontre, quand Jésus revient, on peut lui regarder avec la joie.
The other thing though that is unique about you is what you can do for him.
Ce qui est unique pour chacun d'entre nous, c'est que ce qu'on peut faire pour lui.
Sometimes we dream of doing great things for Jesus.
Des fois, on rêve de faire les grandes choses pour Jésus.
But everything begins with doing little things in a great way for a great cause, for a great Savior.
Mais toutes les choses commencent par faire les petites choses avec une manière importante pour le Seigneur, pour une cause importante.
So that's my challenge for you this evening. If you have met and know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, devote yourself to doing the little things in a great way because you serve a great Savior.
Donc c'est un défi pour chacun d'entre nous ce soir, c'est de faire les petites choses pour le Seigneur avec une manière importante parce qu'on sait que c'est pour une cause importante.
Okay, so that's the first bit, and that's always the biggest bit, okay? With me, the first point is the big one, the second point is smaller, and the third point has gone in a shot. Okay. The plan.
Donc, deuxième point, le plan.
Now, you've seen in this passage, and if you have it in front of you, you'll see this word mystery.
Donc, il y a ce mot mystère.
And it's intriguing, isn't it? What does Paul mean by a mystery?
Donc, qu'est-ce que Paul parle ici, un mystère?
Well, he uses other words in the passage that help us to understand.
Donc, il emploie d'autres mots qui nous aident à comprendre.
The first thing that helps us is that when he uses the word mystery, he also talks about the gospel. I became a servant of this gospel. Do you see that? Verse 7.
Donc, quand il parle de mystère, il utilise le mot aussi, l'évangile, donc, en verset 7.
So the mystery is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Donc, le mystère, c'est la bonne nouvelle de Jésus, c'est l'évangile.
But not only that, he also uses another term for it. And look, I can't find the verse now. Here we are. Verse 8 again. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the gospel, the mystery. No, the boundless riches of Christ.
Verset 8 dit, j'ai reçu la grâce d'annoncer parmi les non-juifs et les richesses infinies de Christ.
Whoa. Now that is a mouthful of a word, isn't it? Or an expression. The boundless riches of Christ.
Les richesses infinies de Christ.
So when we talk about the mystery, we're talking about the good news. Well, a good news is not a mystery, is it? I mean, you've got to announce the good news. And we're talking about the boundless riches of Christ. So it's something really big.
Donc, quand on parle du mystère ici, c'est la bonne nouvelle de Christ et aussi les richesses infinies de Christ.
How do you hide something really big of immense value if you want for some reason to hide it?
Comment cacher ces choses qui sont tellement grandes?
Have you ever tried to hide something of great value in your house when you go away on holiday or something?
Est-ce que vous avez déjà essayé de cacher des choses qui ont une valeur importante quand vous partez loin?
Be quite interesting to have that responsibility, wouldn't it? I would try and think of what's in our house, what have we got of great value, and But you know, they say the best way to hide something is to put it in plain view. Put it on display and people won't notice it. They'll walk straight past it.
On dit que la meilleure manière de cacher les choses, c'est de cacher sous les vues de tout le monde.
And so we have it in English, even the expression, hidden in plain sight.
Donc c'est caché sous les vues de tout le monde.
And we read the reading from Isaiah to illustrate to you how God hid this mystery of the gospel of the boundless riches of Christ in plain sight.
Donc on a lu le livre d'Ésaïe, on a vu comment Dieu a caché ces bonnes choses sous les yeux de tout le monde.
He hid it in plain sight by announcing it to Adam. He said, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. He was announcing the good news, the infinite riches of Christ, putting it in plain sight.
Donc il a caché cette nouvelle en annonçant à Adam que
la semence de la femme allait écraser la tête du serpent. He announced it to Abraham. Do you remember? I think someone referred to this last week, or maybe in the Bible study. He took Abraham outside and got him to look at the stars and said, your descendants will be like the stars. In you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. He hid it in plain sight by announcing it to Abraham.
Donc, il a annoncé la nouvelle à Abraham en lui disant, en lui montrant les étoiles, le nombre des étoiles, et en lui disant que ce sera tes descendants sont nombreux comme les étoiles, et Dieu a encore une fois de cacher cette bonne nouvelle sous ses yeux.
And we read in Isaiah about how God announced through Isaiah this same mystery, that all the nations would be blessed through Jesus, because it was far too small a thing for him simply to save people from Israel.
Donc pareil, dans le livre d'Ésaïe, Dieu dit qu'il va bénir toutes les nations à travers Jésus.
Now we could go through so many examples in the Old Testament where God hid in plain sight his big plan, and it was there for all the world to see, and they didn't see.
Donc à travers la Bible, il y a beaucoup d'exemples où Dieu a caché son plan, sa mystère sous les yeux de tout le monde.
So it was put on display and nobody saw it.
Donc c'est déjà Dieu l'a déjà mis en place, mais personne ne l'a vu.
And the whole world then was going to be saved and blessed through the sacrifice of God's King, announced all over the place. Psalms, Malachi, through the life of Joseph, that we saw when we went through Joseph, and nobody saw it.
Donc, le plan de Dieu, c'est qu'à travers le sacrifice de Jésus, Dieu va bénir toutes les nations, et on l'a vu dans beaucoup d'exemples, dans la vie de Joseph, dans Psaume, dans le livre de Malachi.
And you say, well, why? Why didn't people see it? And my answer, the best answer I have for that, well, I've got one is we're all kind of blind, but the other answer is simply this, and it's the words of Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Donc on se demande pourquoi Dieu a fait ça. Donc la meilleure réponse qu'on peut vous donner, c'est dans le 1 Corinthiens, chapitre 2,
verset
8, où Paul a dit que... chapitre 2. Cette sagesse, aucun des chefs de ce temps ne l'a connu, car s'il l'avait connu, il n'aurait pas crucifié le Seigneur de la gloire.
There we are. If people had really understood God's plan, it would never have worked. It's really strange, isn't it? But if people had really understood what they were doing when they condemned Jesus Christ to death, they would never have done it. And so the plan would never have worked. How strange is that?
Donc c'est vraiment bizarre, parce que si les personnes avaient compris que ce qu'ils faisaient envers Jésus, il n'aurait jamais fait. Et alors, il n'y aura pas le plan.
Well, now Jesus is crucified, and Jesus is risen from the dead, and Jesus is exalted, and so the plan need not be hidden any longer. And so Paul says, I've received this grace to announce and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Go and tell everyone, to make it plain, to use simple words, and to tell everyone, and to make it as clear as possible.
Donc le plan de Dieu a accompli, Jésus est mort, Jésus est ressuscité, Jésus est monté dans le ciel, et maintenant Paul est appelé pour aller partager cette bonne nouvelle, l'évangile, à tout le monde, partout.
And so he sums it up in verse 12, he says, in Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's the message for Paul, and that's the message for me, and that's the message for you too, whoever you are, whatever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you think tonight, the message for you is you can approach God with confidence and with freedom through Jesus Christ. No other way, only through him, but you can do it, you can come.
Donc c'est le message important pour chacun de nous individuellement. Verset 12, c'est donc Christ, par la foi en lui, que nous avons la liberté de nous approcher de Dieu avec confiance.
And so this amazing plan, Paul describes it as, do you see this expression he uses? He talks about the manifold wisdom of God. It's verse 10. It's much better in French. It's easier words.
Donc on va voir le verset 10. Ainsi, les dominations et les autorités dans les lieux célestes connaissent maintenant, par le moyen de l'Église, la sagesse infiniment variée de Dieu.
La sagesse infiniment variée de Dieu. The manifold mystery, wisdom of God. This word manifold, we talked about it and we thought, it's really hard, isn't it? Engineers are going to think, well, it's part of an engine. You know, it's kind of like where the air divides and goes into the engine, the inlet manifold, and there's an exhaust manifold where the pipes come together and so on, except they don't call it that in German. There we are. You win some, you lose some. What does a manifold mean? Well, the word that Paul uses here means it's multicoloured. It's variegated. It's multicoloured. I don't know. I can't see anyone wearing anything multicoloured. It's kind of a pity. Kind of late winter. Someone's pointing at someone. No. variegated, like a variegated plant, kaleidoscopic. You know, the colours are all different because God's wisdom is so amazing and rich. And Phoebe is showing us her socks. What a wonderful illustration of the manifold wisdom of God.
Donc, il y a qu'est-ce que c'est donc, en version anglaise, c'est manifold wisdom. Donc, en traduction ici, c'est la sagesse infiniment variée de Dieu. C'est comme quelque chose de couleur différente, c'est varié, on a du mal à décrire, mais c'est infiniment grand.
That is what God is like. He's so far above us that we can explore his ways all our lives and still be amazed by his manifold wisdom, his variegated wisdom, his colorful wisdom, his kaleidoscopic wisdom, which focuses all on saving the world through Jesus Christ.
Donc, c'est Dieu est merveilleux. Donc, on approche de lui, on découvre ses mille manières de faire des choses différemment et ses sagesse infiniment variée.
I'm determined to make it clear to you this evening. You can come to God through Jesus Christ. And I really urge you to do that. You really must. You can come to God through Jesus Christ with confidence, with freedom, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done.
Donc, peu importe qui tu es, peu importe ce que tu as fait, on peut approcher, toi, tu peux approcher de Dieu avec confiance.
Okay, we're on our third point. I told you it would speed up. The span.
Donc, troisième point, l'étendue.
And we're thinking here of the bigness of God's plan. It's just a really big plan.
Donc on est en train de parler la grandeur de Dieu. C'est son grand plan.
Look at how Paul describes it. It's a big plan in time.
Donc c'est un grand plan en temps.
Verse 9, he talks about this plan for ages past. For ages past. Was kept hidden in God. It was in the mind of God before he even created the world.
Donc verset 9 est de mettre en lumière pour tous les hommes comment se réalise le mystère caché de toute éternité en Dieu.
But then he talks about, in verse 11, how this plan is according to his eternal purpose. And now he's thinking about forever in the future. So this plan is part of God's thinking from before the world began and to after the world is renewed, from forever to forever. It's a big plan in its in time.
Ce plan a été établi avant la création, mais aussi ça dure l'éternellement, comme verset 11 dit, conformément au plan éternel qu'il a accompli en Jésus-Christ, notre Seigneur.
We live in the quartier Euratlantique.
Alan et Pat vivent dans le quartier Euratlantique.
I like to call it the quartier Juppé, but please don't tell anyone. Well done. And one of the wonderful things about living in the quartier Euratlantique is that they keep adding things to it.
Une chose dans le quartier Euratlantique, c'est que les choses continuent à s'ajouter.
So they decided about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, to make a new street, and this street is going to go from the station, and it's going to go down to the river. And it's going to be a beautiful street with trees and with shops and with apartments. It's going to be a thing of wonder.
Donc il y aura un chemin aménagé, boisé, qui va connecter la station jusqu'à la Garonne.
And I forget what they call it, but it's either called Rue de la Garonne or Cour de la Garonne or Cour du Fleuve or something like that.
On ne sait pas les noms.
And it does have a cost. They've knocked down our carrefour, and I'm really sad because that carrefour kept us going through confinement.
Mais ils ont déconstruit
le carrefour. Okay. Oui, le supermarché. Now, the thing about a plan like that is that it's really big, and I'm starting to get really old, and I look at this plan and I think, will I ever see the Cour de la Garonne? Will I ever see the park that they're going to build across the tram line from us? Will I ever see all these amazing buildings that they're going to put up? Will I see it?
Donc Alan se pose la question que est-ce qu'il va vraiment voir ces choses qui se construisent, parce que c'est un plan qui va durer longtemps.
And before we moved to the area, I asked this lady, are they really going to finish all these things? Is it really going to be accomplished? She said, oh yes, she said, c'est un plan d'intérêt national. Alors toute la France est engagée et engagée dans ce plan.
Quand Alain a déménagé, a demandé à la personne si est-ce que ces choses vont vraiment se faire, et après la dame lui dit que oui, c'est un plan d'intérêt national.
So people can make great big plans, can't they?
Donc les gens peuvent faire des plans importants.
Just imagine God's plan that stretches from eternity past to eternity in the future, and it all focuses on the amazing thing that he accomplished through his own dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Donc imaginez le plan éternel de Dieu qui a commencé l'éternellement avant la création, qui dure l'éternellement après le monde, tout concentré sur Jésus-Christ qui va sauver le monde.
Imagine the plan in space.
Imaginez le plan à l'espace.
I don't mean in outer space now. I mean in you know, kind of like time and space. Paul is in prison. I don't know what a prison was like in Roman days, but I don't think it was like the Maison d'Arrêt at Gradignan. I think probably prison was pretty lousy. You know, it was small and damp and horrible and not very nice.
Donc Paul a été en prison. En prison, c'est un endroit qui est sale, petit, horrible.
I imagine a small room, kind of dark, kind of smells, you know.
Donc c'est un endroit qui est pourri, petit, sombre.
But Paul, he's called to take his message to everyone in the whole wide world.
Mais Paul est appelé de partager cet évangile dans le monde entier.
So the plan goes from a tiny prison cell to the whole wide world.
Dans le plan commence par le petit cellule dans la prison jusqu'au dans le monde entier.
But in the passage, there's even something that we don't entirely understand. He says, through the church, that's through us being renewed through the Lord Jesus Christ, The manifold wisdom of God, we're back in verse 10, should be made known, look at this, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms.
Et dans le verset 10, il y a quelque chose qu'on ne comprend pas à 100% en disant que ainsi les dominations et les autorités dans les lieux célestes connaissent maintenant par le moyen de l'Église la sagesse infiniment variée de Dieu.
So here are these authorities. We can only assume that they are heavenly angels, that they're above us, and they are looking at this plan of God being worked out in the world. And so it goes from a prison cell to the whole wide world to the very angels above. And here is the scope of God's plan.
Donc ici il y a les autorités célestes qui sont au-dessus de nous. Eux ils regardent aussi le plan de Dieu qui s'accomplisse. Donc le plan de Dieu commence dans une petite cellule en prison jusqu'à dans le monde entier qui touche aussi les autorités célestes.
And then just imagine the spanning character of this plan, because here is Paul and he's in this smelly prison cell and he's either writing or dictating this letter and someone is taking it down for him and they're going to send it to Ephesus.
Donc on regarde ce caractère étendu de plan de Dieu qui commence dans ce petit chambre de prison jusqu'au monde entier.
But Paul says, verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. They're your glory. So he says, here am I in this small prison cell, squalid, damp, smelly. But these sufferings for you are glory. They're bringing about glory, and the majesty and grandeur of God's plan is shown in that. That it stretches to the dungeon and reaches to glory.
Dans le verset 13, Paul leur demande de ne pas perdre courage à cause de ses souffrances, parce que ces souffrances pour eux, c'est les gens qui s'adressent, ce sont ces gloires.
So as I draw to a close, okay? When you read through this passage next time, just remember the man who is the writing this passage, Paul. All that he had been, all that he was, and all that he is now, and all that Jesus is doing in him.
Donc on va se rappeler la prochaine fois qu'on lit ce passage de ce qu'il était, ce qu'il a fait, et ce qui comment il s'est transformé et ce qu'il fait maintenant.
Think about yourself. Think about who you are and all that you've been. Have you met with the Lord Jesus Christ? And how can you do small things in a great way for this great Savior?
Donc on revient à nous-mêmes, penser qui on était, ce qu'on a fait, et est-ce qu'on on est transformé par Jésus-Christ, est-ce qu'on a rencontré Jésus, et comment on peut faire les petites choses pour lui, ce grand Seigneur.
And then think about the plan of God and this amazing plan, the mystery, the good news, the infinitely varied wisdom of God, and how this encompasses the whole wide world. But even you, God's plan involves you, little old you.
Donc, réfléchis comment l'étendue et la grandeur de plan de Seigneur. Et ce grand plan, ça nous inclut aussi, nous individuellement.
And then think about the span of this plan that fills the whole wide universe. It's the theme of heaven itself, how God is saving a world of sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Et réfléchis aussi comment ce plan étendu en temps et en espace qui sauve le monde entier.
And I want to finish with a kind of paraphrase of verse 13, really. And simply say this to you. People who love, trust, and serve a crucified and exalted Savior have no need ever to be discouraged.
Donc les gens qui aiment et mettent confiance en Dieu et qui servent un Seigneur crucifié et exalté n'ont jamais besoin d'être découragés.
Thanks for listening.
Merci pour l'écoute.
And we're going to pray. Let's pray.
Prions.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan of salvation that you hid in plain sight by announcing it all through human history, to Adam, to Abraham, to others, I can't remember the name of the guy who went to Egypt.
Joseph.
Through Joseph, through David, through the Psalms, through the prophets, and finally when Jesus came into the world and accomplished your great plan and died to save a fallen humanity.
Merci Seigneur pour ton grand plan que tu as caché sous les yeux de tout le monde, que tu as déjà mis en place devant David, à travers Psaume, à travers Joseph, et que, qui permet de sauver le monde entier.
And we thank you that this amazing multicolored wisdom reaches down even into our little lives, and we can meet with the Lord Jesus Christ today and find our lives transformed.
Merci pour ton sagesse infiniment variée qui transforme notre vie.
And we thank you that we too, in our turn, whether we're called to do big things or small, we can do those small things in a great way for our great Savior.
Et merci quand tu nous appelles, que ce soit faire des grandes choses ou des petites choses pour toi, pour une cause importante.
Help us never to be discouraged, but to remember what you accomplished through a crucified and exalted Savior, because we ask it in His name.
Aide-nous à jamais être découragés parce que toi tu nous as donné un Seigneur crucifié et exalté.
Amen.
Amen.